Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Point out, for the benefit of those who haven't been there, this is a fence line for the AGR property, is that correct? And it's a chain link fence?
Yes.
So you can see through it?
Yes.
And this property, AGR property parking lot, was not locked down. People could walk in and did walk in?
Yes.
Including Mr. Cooks. This is another chain link fence, I believe, with just the grassy perimeter?
Yes.
Did they say anything about posting an agent or blocking, making opaque that fence line or both fence lines?
So we were told that they were going to post a opaque fencing along the line. In the military, I called it sniper fencing.
But that did not happen. They didn't put cars, trucks, they didn't hang banners, they didn't do anything to obscure it. And so you actually, it wasn't just the AGR building that we are now so well aware of and the roof onto which Crooks climbed and shot at the president from and killed Corey Comparator from. But there was a whole area with a chain link fence where anybody could have just walked up there with guns and had at the president because it was outside the magnetometer screening perimeter.
So when I visited the Butler farm, the Butler farm show, and the AGR complex, two things struck me. The proximity of the AGR building to where the stage was where President Trump was speaking. And also, when you're on the other side of that very limp chain link fence, how much, I'm shocked at how many people were milling about that didn't go through any magnetometers or any security checks. Officer Blasco, do you have any idea how many people were on the grounds that day? On the AGR?
AGR complex?
Yeah.
From talking to the sniper units in the AGR building, they said there was approximately 150 to 200 people.
Okay, so there were hundreds there.
What? What? This was a hearing that just when was this done? This was last Thursday, I think. I got my date right on this. And the reason I'm talking about this today in particular, I mean, because I finally got through the cuts and clipped them up for you, because we keep following this, because this is a really, really important story about the incompetence and inadequacy and mismanagement of the Secret Service and their inability to protect their protectees. That's the real, and of course, that's the problem. And Trump is going back to this location tomorrow. And one of the representatives who was a former sniper SEAL Team 3, congressman, he specifically said he shouldn't go back there. It's not a safe location. It's not one that can be properly secured. And even if you were trying your best, and they clearly were not trying their best, that's what he means. But this is, like, not even close to that. And even, like, one of the things that you've heard about is the water tower, you know, that nobody was on the water tower. And here, why does that matter?
Commander Lentz, what's the highest structure in the direct proximity of the AGR building?
The roof of the second floor of the AGR complex.
But in the water tower.
In the water tower, yes.
The highest one. Did the Secret Service ask you all to post anybody up on the water tower?
No, they did not.
Okay. Would that have helped perhaps secure the area and mitigate the threat of the AGR building if we had somebody up there?
I think it would help secure the AGR complex.
Because you had a clear line of sight on it if somebody was up there, right?
Correct.
Yeah. But they didn't do that, did they?
They did not.
A perfect place to put a counter-sniper team with a view of everything, including the roof of the AGR building, which, by the way, later on, that former SEAL Team 3 member, Eli Crane, he said not only would that have prevented Crooks from doing what he did, it might have deterred him because with his rangefinder looking around, he would have seen that team and thought, oh, I can't do what I'm going to do. There's no safe place to hide. I mean, this is just unending incompetence by the Secret Service on this. They didn't secure the AGR building. They didn't secure the chain link fence or obstruct that view. There were several other buildings that they did not protect against or secure. And this is one of the ones that has bothered me the whole time, and I'm so glad they kind of addressed it, is that if you're going to put snipers up, why would you point their guns toward the crowd? The counter snipers are not aiming at the crowd. They're looking out at all the rooftops and perimeter possibilities, right?
Generally speaking, the observation of the crowd is the responsibility of the post standers or police officers that are posted in the crowd.
People in there.
Because the theory being, everyone in that crowd has already been screened. So it would be very difficult for someone to get a weapon inside the secure area already.
So the idea that there would be, you know, a gunman, not to say that it's not impossible, but there would be a gunman in the crowd that a sniper at a distance would be able to identify and take an effective shot, seems very unlikely.
It seems highly unlikely, in my opinion. Again, the threat at that point from the counter-sniper perspective is outside the perimeter, in the area that is outside the where the magnetometers are set up. And that's the reason why you have the counter-snipers. Because the theory being inside that perimeter, the people have already been screened, and to a high degree of certainty, there is probably no weapons inside the secure area.
So aiming sniper rifles at the crowd that's already been screened for weapons, when you have post-standers inside and around the crowd and the stage to watch them specifically at close range and see if they're pulling a pistol or something like that, and why would you take a sniper shot into a crowd? And it's like there's no part of this that makes sense. So why was the Butler team tasked to be in the building behind the window looking into the crowd in the first place? That's not what you would choose to do. Why weren't they on the water tower or somewhere that made sense? It just, again, there's no question there was incompetence. The only question is whether it was incompetence or design. That's really the only question at this point. And what's going to be done to protect the president tomorrow, right? 437-1620. More on this, because I cannot believe after this testimony last week that he's going back to this location tomorrow. I really can't. And I got more things that you've never heard before. At least I had never heard before until I heard this testimony. 616 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Actually, I-10 and I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Seeing a little delay if you're going from downtown Milton into East Milton. But other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
What you do on the field, every part of it matters.
DJU winds up looking for Ja'Kai down the field. He's got it. Touchdown. FSU.
Mike Norvell and the Florida State Seminoles host the Clemson Tigers this Saturday night for a primetime ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
Clemson takes on FSU at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the West Point, Virginia Public School Board for paying former high school teacher Peter Vlaming over $500,000 to settle a wrongful termination lawsuit he filed after they fired him for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. The 7-year French teacher claimed that being terminated for refusing to refer to a transgender student as male when he was identified female at birth was a violation of his constitutional religious rights, and the Virginia Supreme Court agreed with him. During class, Vlaming avoided the issue by only referring to the young man in gender-neutral or circumlocutory ways so that he would neither have to say his true now gender nor say the gender of his birth, thus coyly trying to avoid the issue entirely. But as you all learned in your preliminary woke-alite training, silence is violence. And anything other than openly and fully endorsing a person's current gender of the moment is a very serious gender crime, and Vlaming got fired for the word violence he engaged in. Now, of course, we also lay heavy blame on the court for siding with him, inexplicably. But really, it's the school board who deserves the blame because they gave up the fight. They could have appealed to the United States Supreme Court. They could have dragged their feet on paying. They could have done all sorts of things to fight this outrageously transphobic, dead-naming, misgendering fascist and his blatantly money-grabbing lawsuit. But of course now, other backwards and repressive teachers everywhere will feel emboldened to inflict similar psychological torture on their students by using no pronouns at all because the West Point Public School Board caved and rewarded this outrageously non-inclusive behavior. So yes, the Virginia Supreme Court and Peter Vlaming get our disapproval, but the school board gets the total boot. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Margaret Brennan, the host of Face the Nation, for her bumbling and counterproductive performance as co-moderator of this week's vice presidential debate. Now, normally we would give Margaret a pass. She's been a consistent ally of our cause, especially during COVID. And of course, as a female host of a Sunday morning network TV news show, she officially has immunity level 3B. But of course, this is not immunity level 4, 5, or 6, the latter of which we reserve for the truly untouchable, such as Kamala Harris, Michelle Obama, and George Clooney. Let's start with the most obvious of Brennan's virtue sins, the hard-nosed fact-check of Tim Walz over his false claim that he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989, which, of course, he was not.
Many times I will talk a lot, I will get caught up in the rhetoric.
Now, yes, he obviously lied, but precisely because this is known, it was horribly wrong of Brennan to point it out by direct questioning and following up and asking again when he didn't answer the first time.
I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times.
Unacceptable. But it was worse than that, because at a later moment in the debate, when talking about gun control, one of our five holy policy positions, Walz made one of the worst gaffes of the entire evening.
Become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
Oh, dear. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Now, obviously, what he meant was that he had become close to the victims of school shooters, and any reasonable person would have understood that. But instead of letting the gaffe metastasize into a viral meme as it did, Brennan should have recognized the danger and nipped it in the bud by stopping the debate and asking him gently if that's really what he meant to say, poor fella. since he had clearly become rattled by the bright lights and the pretty girls and the empty auditorium, and she should have helped the cause by calming him down and holding his hand while he got himself uncaught from all the rhetoric. But the real virtue sin was early on in the debate when Margaret fact-checked J.D. Vance for something he said that was actually correct, smugly tried to move on, and then cut off Vance's mic when he tried to clarify his position.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP app has not been on the books since 1990. It's something that
created, gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut.
To be clear, we have no problem with any of this in principle. The problem was the horribly clumsy way she did it. It was so obvious and inartful, especially after CBS had agreed to not conduct in-debate fact checks, that she left herself exposed to criticisms of bias and even made people feel sympathy for Vance. Come on, girl! You know you have to at least put on a show of impartiality, and it was the utter ineptitude of this interaction which requires us to chastise her out of the fold. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our strongest praise this week is for the New York Times and its delightful decision to publish the opinion piece by their nonfiction book critic, Jennifer Zelai, entitled, The Constitution is Sacred. Is it also dangerous? She makes several important points about the anti-democratic flaws of the Constitution, such as that a person can be president without a majority of the consent of the governed, or that the Supreme Court can strike down a woman's right to make her own health care choices when the three key justices making that decision were only confirmed by senators representing 44% of the U.S. electorate. But the real power in her piece is the way she explains that the entire framework of the Constitution is not some neutral, objective, apolitical compromise, but in fact embodies extremism and repression masquerading as fairness and historical objectivity. Just ask yourselves, if the Constitution were really neutral and an originalist reading of it didn't take sides, why do Republicans so vehemently defend it and Democrats so eagerly criticize it? Just because a bunch of dead people 235 years ago made a deal, why should that bind us today? What she points out is that the so-called originalism is really just a form of constitution worship aimed at the writings of a bunch of repressive old white male bigots from a long time ago who certainly don't share our values today. She's so right. Instead of thinking of the Constitution as a binding agreement on the rules of a republic that has stood the test of time and been the envy of the world, Zelai and the New York Times are saying it's time to stop being the oldest constitutional republic and start over. If we can't win within the most stable political system in history, it's time to overthrow it. Quit pretending we can ever use the current mechanisms for change to make the really dramatic change we need. Stop honoring the political hand-me-downs of a bunch of dead white homophobic racist misogynists, and let's start from scratch, since revolution is the only way to really establish just and stable governments, as so many revolutions have proven in the last century. So down with the Constitution and up with Jennifer Zelai and the New York Times and their call for upheaval. Viva la revolution! Si se puede! Liberté, égalité, sororité! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by, if you can't beat them, join them. Makers of fine adult beverages created from only the highest quality fermented beet juice. Jamie and Mark's brilliant thought experiment was, why make wine out of grapes when you can be more inclusive of all the fruits and vegetables for your alcoholic delicacies, starting with beets? Whether it's their red beet Beaujolais, their sugar beet Chardonnay, or their golden beet borscht spritzer, you just know it's going to taste every bit as earthy as the dirt those beets were grown in. If you can't beat them, join them. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
And composed.
And scene.
And scene. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing really good. Just seeing a minor delay as you approach the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile Road in all directions. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I got another text in from somebody who says, Andrew, I have to be careful playing your show around all the people at work on Fridays because they hear it and they think I'm a liberal for listening to this nonsense. Sorry. Sorry. That's not hilarious. So sorry. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, striking dock workers and management have now reached a tentative agreement to prevent a prolonged strike. Members of the International Longshoremen's Association and management groups have agreed to extend the expired contract until January 15th. And about 50,000 union members have been off the job since Tuesday morning. They're going back to work today. Amazon wants to hire a quarter of a million employees for the holiday season. Available positions are full-time, part-time, and seasonal. Apparently, they're paying starting at $18 an hour. The Israeli military has been striking Hezbollah targets in Beirut overnight. Israeli officials say the airstrikes are targeting a militant leader they believe will take over for Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah. Al Arabiya News says that Nasrallah was buried in a secret funeral. Hezbollah had feared that Israel would target a larger funeral if they had one.
Yeah. Oh, the funeral for the terrorist leader? Interesting location. Where was it again? Yeah, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:30 on News Radio 92.3. The Dragon Boat Festival is coming up soon, the October the 12th, so a week from this Saturday. Sotoma out at the Bayou Tahar. It's a great event. You can become a sponsor. Get more information at newsradio923.com. Brunch and Bubbles, Gulf Coast Kids House, Sunday, October 27th. Fantastic event at Portofino. Tickets information, newsradio923.com. Tasty Gulf Breeze. Tasty Gulf Breeze is tonight, so come join us. I will be there. Be sure to say hi to me at the Great Food and Drink Festival. 21 and up, by the way.
I'm Therese Crowley. Back to work Friday for 45,000 longshoremen and the truckers who were shut down in the three-day dock workers strike along the East and Gulf Coast ports. It's over for 90 days to negotiate.
We're working hard on it, and we just...
Former President Trump in Georgia today on his second Hurricane Helene relief visit with Governor Brian Kemp. FEMA has just arrived to the immense suffering in North Carolina. Trump tells Fox.
They've given over $1 billion to illegal migrants that came in, and now they have no money for North Carolina, for Georgia, for South Carolina, and Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida. I think that's a disgrace.
Candidate Kamala Harris campaigns in Flint, Michigan. The International Association of Firefighters declines to endorse either candidate this year after backing Joe Biden last time. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees and some scattered showers around the area. There's an update on that shooting from Wednesday night near Fairfield Drive in Escambia County. The victim of that shooting has now died. Family members identified the man as Walter Lee McQueen Dukes. The shooting happened on the 3400 block of John Street off Old Fairfield. The sheriff's office says there are currently no suspects in custody. An investigation is ongoing, and if you have any information, contact the sheriff's office or call Crime Stoppers. A Gulf Breeze doctor that had been under a lengthy investigation is now facing two first-degree murder charges. 72-year-old Dr. Elaine Sharp was arrested on a Santa Rosa County warrant yesterday. No details have been released on the charges. Sharp's office had previously been raided by authorities after she was found to be improperly prescribing controlled substances. She'd been prescribing opioids for opioid addiction and pain management treatment. An order said Sharp issued more than 3,000 prescriptions between August of 2021 and 2022. She's being held in the Escambia County Jail awaiting an extradition to Santa Rosa County. President Biden says progress is being made as recovery efforts continue after Hurricane Helene.
FEMA teams are literally knocking on doors to register folks so they can receive assistance, to buy what they urgently need.
Biden was in Valdosta, Georgia yesterday. The president said the direct assistance program could cost the U.S. billions of dollars. Some Florida Democrats want the state to change its sex ed curriculum. Seven Democrats in Congress sent a letter to Governor Ron DeSantis and Education Commissioner Manny Diaz yesterday. Those who signed the letter were taking issue with the state's abstinence-only requirements, which in the letter they called harmful. They also wrote that abstinence-only programs have been proven ineffective and damaging to students' health and discriminatory against the LGBTQ plus community. Manny Diaz wrote on X that while Florida is recovering from Hurricane Helene, congressional Democrats are focused on pushing sexual ideology on children. Well, Tallahassee is celebrating its past today, a ribbon-cutting ceremony being held to unveil a life-sized replica of the state's first Capitol building. The replica log cabin was built by over 100 volunteers in honor of the city's bicentennial. The dock workers' strike now on a temporary halt. Union and the union and ports have agreed to a tentative pay deal. Now, that was announced last night and only hours after Governor Ron DeSantis had announced a plan to reopen Florida's ports using National and State Guard troops.
Our residents need reliable, steady supply of resources and building materials to keep their families fed and rebuild their homes and businesses. And so we have a responsibility in the state of Florida to do everything we can to avoid, mitigate, or minimize these disruptions that will have a negative impact on the people of Florida.
And the governor had said he was sending soldiers to Florida's ports to maintain order and resume operations. There's no word on whether the other announcement will affect that troop deployment. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by the Santa Rosa County Supervisor of Elections. The registration deadline for the November 5th general election is October 7th. New registrations need completion and received or postmarked by this date. You can vote santarosa.gov for more information. No accidents still, not seeing any on the big board. But as we go through and looking at I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 right around the Burgess Road going both north and southbound. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will see plenty of rain today with a 60% chance of showers. Constant light rainfall through most of the day with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Saturday, rain chances drop, but we will still have the clouds around. 20% chance of rain with breezy conditions out of the east. High near 84 degrees. Saturday, temperatures 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 74 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are bracing for the release of the September payrolls report later this morning. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect that non-farm payrolls will show growth of 150,000, which is up from the 142,000 in August. The unemployment rate is expected to hold steady at 4.2%. The report drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Shares of Maersk have slumped 7% as European shipping companies fell on the conclusion of a U.S. port strike. U.S. dock workers and the United States Maritime Alliance brokered a tentative deal on wages and extended their existing contract through January 15th. Trump Media Chief Operating Officer Andrew Northwall resigned in late September, the company revealed. Former President Donald Trump's social media company also said it will release nearly 800,000 shares of its stock to an early investor. Futures are slightly higher ahead of today's jobs report. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 184. That's your money now.
Big Time Entertainment presents live in concert the legendary Oak Ridge Boys in Pensacola. Members of the Grand Ole Opry, Country Music Hall of Fame, and five-time Grammy Award winners, the Oak Ridge Boys.
Hellfire up.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Hellfire up.
The Oak Ridge Boys, American-made farewell tour. Sunday, October 6th at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola.
My baby, it's American-made.
More than 30 top 10 hits and over a dozen number ones. The Oak Ridge Boys, one night only.
After y'all come back, salute.
Get your tickets now at the Sanger Theater box office or Ticketmaster.com.
And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes, I'm setting.
Don't miss the Oak Ridge Boys at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola, October 6th.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Gunnels!
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCo Summit returns October 16th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored by Data Revolution, this is your opportunity to get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and machine learning industry experts. Featuring a free career fair, Jurassic Park escape room, prizes, and a performance by the ultimate 80s party band, the Molly Ringwalds. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit ITENWired.com for tickets.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Specifically, the whole area coming leaning up from the water tower, we had no vantage point from. We could see part of the building that Crooks was on, but we had no access in that, or line of sight, I should say, to that area. And I asked the Secret Service members that we do not have the additional manpower to post anybody there, and I requested additional people to be posted there so there would be no access to those grounds.
And what response did you get?
That they would take care of it.
They would take care of it?
Yes.
And did you think that meant they would put it within their secured perimeter?
Whether they put it within their secured perimeter or they posted bodies, actual people there, that was my expectation of what was going to happen.
You know, I just got angrier and angrier when I was listening to this. And every time, and I've been paying attention to all of these hearings because I think this is one of the most significant historical events in this century so far, that we've had not one but two attempted assassinations of a former president and the leading candidate for the Republican, you know, party to win presidency again, right? And you just try to imagine what would have happened if either had succeeded. And it's unfathomable. And to see the Secret Service be so incompetent as an entity, not as individual, you know, members, but overall, you've got to look at the work product, and the work product is just abysmal. And so that's why I keep talking about this. Also, because he's going back tomorrow. He's going to be in Butler at that same location. Anyway, more on that later. But, you know, one of the things that came up in this conversation about particularly about Butler was, you heard there, like the Secret Service was told about the AGR building. Their concerns were raised about that, and they said they would take care of it, and they did not. You know, did the Secret Service do anything with that, or even on the walkthrough? No, they never did.
As far as the walkthroughs, did the Secret Service perform a walkthrough with you all?
They did.
They did?
On Thursday, there was a police walkthrough.
Okay. And during that walkthrough, did they help you and advise you as to how to secure the AGR building?
They did not.
They did not. Lieutenant Harold?
An obvious location.
Our walkthrough was Thursday, and AGR building was not discussed.
They wasn't discussed.
Yeah, we were inside the fence line of the farm show, and we picked they picked their stationary post where they wanted troopers assigned within the perimeter, and the AGR building was never discussed.
Okay, so we could have surrounded that building with, say, 8 or 10 officers, and it probably would have mitigated the threat the AGR building presented. Fair to say?
Yes.
And the Secret Service didn't ask you to do that?
No.
Okay.
And they didn't ask them to secure the roof. They didn't do any of that. The radios did not interconnect with theirs.
Here we've got the local folks, the sheriff, the state police,
all of whom have their own channels and not all of whom are able to listen and hear to one another. Can you briefly talk a little bit about the Secret Service and whether or not you think they could hear you?
I do not believe they could hear us at all. They did not have a radio from us, and we did not have a radio from them.
What?
So, you know, in the local command post, there was no way for us to hear any of the Secret Service radio traffic.
You have two command centers. You have snipers put in the wrong place, not put in the right place. You have there's so much. You have, by the way, one of the things that came up in this conversation was, should you have level of protection for somebody based on their title, or should you have level of protection to somebody based on the threats against them? What makes the most sense to you? If you're trying to keep a person alive, do you put more bodies on them because they happen to be the wife of the president? Or do you put more bodies on them because they're a former president with massive threats against their life? What makes more sense? Remember Joe Biden, 12 agents the same day that they had four on Trump.
Lens, Lieutenant Harrell, I want to take a step back again, back to the planning.
This is Mike Walls, who's a Florida Republican we've had on the show
and
before.
And really the threat profile that President Trump is facing that is unprecedented.
Green Beret, if I remember right.
In modern American history. Commander Lenz, Lieutenant Harrell, were you made aware that Iran has ongoing assassination plots against President Trump that are active and ongoing right now as we speak, including to the run-up?
No.
To July 13th?
I am not aware.
Was it ever discussed with you that an Iranian operative has transited Venezuela and was in the United States, according to FBI public notice made in March, recruiting hitmen to kill President Trump?
It was not.
Were you made aware on July 13th or on July 12th that day the FBI had arrested a Pakistani national, Mr. Merchan, with ties to Iran, putting down payments, actual cash, down payments to recruit hitmen?
No.
Were you aware that that same operative were recruiting women as spotters and recruiting protesters as a distraction? A fairly sophisticated plot being run by a foreign state actor intelligence agency?
No.
Not aware.
Mr. Sullivan, in your experience, would that change how you operated? Would that heighten your level of coordination, assets?
Absolutely, Mr. Walsh. It would be a tremendous game changer.
So there are active threats by foreign nationals against the president. The FBI investigating these doesn't talk to the Secret Service because they're not required to. The Secret Service isn't aware, apparently, of a lot of this. Agents on the ground, agents doing the protection and or, law enforcement are not aware of these threats. They tried to tell them about the AGR building and they didn't want to hear it. It was obvious to anybody who goes there that there should have been somebody on the water tower. They didn't care. They're pointed the wrong way at the snipers. Their radios don't interconnect. They've got two commands instead of one. They didn't check. This is amazing. So the day of the event, they didn't even bother checking in with the snipers to be sure everybody was in place the day of the event. Like, final run through, final walkthrough, check, 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 all that kind of stuff. They didn't even do that. I'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about that just happened on Olive Road and Davis Highway right there at Olive Baptist Church. No roadblock associated with that one, but just minor delays. Other than that, I-10, I-110 looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you need any air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing work done anywhere along the Gulf Coast from basically Tallahassee to Mobile, Peden, they will take care of you. Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, they've been doing this for 55 years. Of course, started in Panama City, and they've been expanding. Of course, they've been here in Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field, and they went east to Tallahassee, and they've been going west in the last couple of years to Baldwin County last year, this year to Mobile. And they'll take care of you. Professional service, trained staff, right products, right installation. Do it right the first time and stand by it with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. There's a reason they've been around this long and doing it so well. And right now, it's the end of the season, so they have $1,000 off any in-stock air conditioning system. If it's in stock and you need an AC replacement, which it's expensive to do, but $1,000 off makes it less painful, right? That's right. Now, if it's in stock. Also, they want to remind you to get your air conditioner serviced for the fall before demand gets to be, higher coming along next spring. And again, Peden, they've been around for 55 years. Check them out. Schedule an appointment at Peden, PEDEN.com. So I said it before a moment ago that they didn't even do basic check through. I've worked on plays and things where, check in with your radio, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And they didn't even do that with the sniper teams.
You're the leader of the local law enforcement on the ground there, right?
Just the tactical units.
Okay, or the tactical units. The first time you talked to Secret Service that day was when you needed them and you called them?
Correct.
Did anybody check in with you to make sure your guys were in the right place for the event?
They did not check in with me, but
I did. They did not. Let me make sure I got this correct. The U.S. Secret Service is about to pull a security detail around a president at an event with a lot of people and a lot of risk, with a heightened risk from an international threat, and they didn't even check in with you to make sure your guys were in place and ready to go?
Correct, not with me.
And you're the leader of one of the tactical units covering this and had responsibilities on this site?
Yes.
I find that unbelievable.
And at the time of the shooting, there were two other suspicious persons that they were also looking at. It's not clear whether the Secret Service is on the first net for cell phones. Remember after 911, they created the system that gave first responders priority access on the cell channels when everybody's trying to make calls. And at least that would guarantee that they're on that channel. And it's not even obvious Secret Service has access to that. There is a culture problem at Secret Service, as Dan Bongino had pointed out, that they were reluctant for years and years and years to adopt a sling for their primary weapon, so that if you ever need to climb a ladder or arrest a bad guy or pull your secondary, you don't throw the weapon to the ground. You just drop it. It hangs on your body. And then like all of the stuff. And if somebody texts in and says, at a certain point, so many mistakes make it look on purpose. Yeah, and so much of the evidence has been destroyed that at this point it's very hard to tell what really happened or to ask questions of the evidence because, Crooks' body is gone, even though we've got the ME report. And he was on this investigatory panel. He was by phone. He was telling them stuff as they were going along. But, man, and then, okay, add on to that. And by the way, remember, it was the locals who got blamed, but it was the locals who spotted Crooks, the locals who followed him. Oh, and by the way, it was a local officer who shot at him first and maybe shot him first. This is Representative Clay Higgins just reading testimony from the officer who shot with his M4 first before the Secret Service shot and killed him.
Commander, I'm gonna quote from the transcribed interview of Aaron Zalapone. That's a tactical SWAT officer under your command that took shot number 9. He was deployed.
By the way, the point there is shots 1 through 8 are Crooks. Shot 9 was this officer. Shot 10 was the Secret Service. Okay, nobody ever talks about shot 9. Because who knew there was a shot 9?
He was deployed. He heard the radio traffic. He saw the commotion. He left his deployed position and ran into a position where he thought he might be able to get a shot on if there was a shooter up on a roof, somebody on a roof. He said seconds after that is whenever the first 3 shots were fired. So I hear the first 3, crack, crack, crack. And at this point, I'm like, okay, where we at here? I look up, that's when I see Crooks. I got his head, his shoulders, I can see a rifle. At that point, I hear another crack. That's when I start pulling my weapon up. He gets 3 off. As I'm getting my target acquired, I'm getting my red dot up, I can see the gas emit from his barrel, his muzzle. Then right after that, I hear the snap of his 5th shot go off. Then immediately after that, I press one off, and that's when he immediately goes down. When I say goes down, it wasn't like he was ducking to get out of the way. I know I hit him. There's no doubt about it. He goes down. He kind of jerks to the right, and then he slumps over slowly, and then kind of slowly rolls backward out of my field of view. So at that point, I did not have a second shot. At that point, he tries to recover. 2 seconds after that, the Secret Service, from a different vantage point, a higher vantage point, takes the killing shot.
So until I heard this testimony, I had never heard that there was a local law enforcement officer that shot Crooks first or shot at him first. Now, the ME testified that there was only 1 bullet wound into the body, and that came from the Secret Service counter sniper, the one that you've seen all the pictures of, okay, that was across the way. I don't know who hit him, but it sounds like that officer firmly believes he hit him, and maybe he's the one who killed Crooks and not the Secret Service. Who knows? The body's gone. Remember how the Secret Service, their first reaction, the Secret Service director was blaming local law enforcement? Local law enforcement saved the day across the board, despite being handicapped, put in the wrong place, unable to communicate with the Secret Service properly, not having been checked in on, and on and on and on, all the things that were done wrong. Again, to me, the big point about this is we are trusting the lives of our leaders to these people, and they are at risk. You know, the things that keep these folks up, these are, you know, either retired or former or some current snipers and, you know, counter sniper people and, you know, police experts and all this, they're scared for what can happen to our protectees.
We should be solving for the future problem that we aren't seeing coming around the corner, and those are emerging threats, evolving threats such as drone technologies. Gentlemen, do you have anything that keeps you up at night that isn't sort of the traditional sniper on a rooftop?
Yeah, I believe that we've probably all considered the emerging threat that would be coming from a drone. I would say at our level, I have no means to mitigate that at this point.
100 drones from 2 miles away or a mile away. A 5-person hit team from Hezbollah or Venezuela. Suddenly pulling out automatic rifles at a chain link fence 110 yards away from the president where there was no security outside that perimeter. Multiple buildings at this site that they say can't be secured properly or are very dangerous possibilities. And he's going back tomorrow? By the way, coming up at the top of the hour, I know I'm talking a lot about this today, but I just don't think anybody's talking enough about this. And the information that is coming out is horrifying. But coming up at the top of the hour, Eli Crane, who's the former SEAL Team 3 guy who, you know, is a congressman and talked about this, I'm going to let you hear just straight from him and play his comments because they were, I haven't played anything from him yet. It was the most insightful, cutting, and interesting commentary on all of this in one place that I've ever heard, and I'll play that for you coming up at the top of the hour at about 7:10. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound approaching the Bay Bridge, there was an accident that happened at the entrance of the bridge. Traffic is still flowing, but we're starting to see some onlookers and slowdowns right there. So just be aware of that. Also got an accident on Olive Road and Davis Highway right at, they moved it over to Olive Baptist Church inside that parking lot. But I'm still seeing some minor delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Seeking the pulse of economic strength?
The Port of Pensacola is more than a name. It's the driving force behind Northwest Florida's progress. Home to over 20 major businesses, from Cemex Materials to General Electric Wind Energy, and now the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, they've been a catalyst for prosperity and growth. Ready to shape the future? Visit portofpensacola.com and discover how they power the region's success.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Okay, when you hear those sounds, John, do you picture the spaceship? Do you picture Devil's Tower, or do you picture a giant pile of mashed potatoes in the dining room?
The spaceship. Yeah.
The ship. I think so too. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
For the record, I'm on Team Mashed Potatoes.
Oh, way to go, brother. I love it.
Hurricane Helene is now the deadliest storm to hit the U.S. mainland since Hurricane Katrina. Officials say that death toll's up to over 215. And the Biden administration will be allowed to move forward with its student loan forgiveness plan. A judge in Georgia allowing the temporary restraining order on the plan to expire this coming, of course, just weeks before the election.
By the way, I just got a text in from Candy, and she said she's on Team Potatoes, too.
Nice! There you can always count on Candy.
You can always count. She's the best. I love her so much. John, what did you say? You
the spaceship, right?
Yeah. All right. I see the spaceship, too. The Devil's Tower.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.